views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
With a price tag, you a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have told you turn the other cheek, and they made it with a bat. Fuck them protests and them sit-ins, told you go fight in the war, Vietnam, you died good riddance. That man of the house rule took you from your siblings, turned around and pump crack right up in your city, and they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin, called a national guard up because we ride with our guard up, and I was building your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Chase the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
For those of you who don't know the pain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines called USA Inc. Today's day is June 15th, 2015. It's Monday. I hope that you all made it through the weekend, because we know a lot of people get caught up in things over the weekend. And so I hope that none of you got caught up in anything over the weekend that has caused you any kind of pain or heartache. So, because again, we always got to recognize the fact that we do live behind enemy lines. I've been saying that for a long, 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 long time. I was listening to a podcast as I was doing some research on an article that I had wrote, and I had covered the topic years ago on a podcast. And I didn't even realize just how long I have been saying that. And I say it because I truly believe it. Not because I'm trying to sound radical, not because I'm trying to, sound militant or anything like that. I say it because it's the truth. I say it because based on the evidence, based off of my observations, based on the fact that I have been to an actual war zone, being a member, former member of the military, and the things that we were told to look out for, you know, being stationed in a foreign country. Hell, we need to be doing the same things here in America, especially as black people, especially as non-white people. So that's not something I'm just saying. That is something that's based on evidence. All right. So let's get down to today's topics. Wow. First thing I want to do, let me give out the phone number, 530-881-1400, access code 549032#. Once you dialed into the conference line, if you want to make a comment, ask a question, share an observation, just hit *6 and the number 1, and that will put you in the caller's queue, and I will come to you. Also, the other way to make a comment is to call 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. If you are somewhere else in the world, cause you know, the last, statistical report from last month, revealed that we have listeners in over 140 countries that are tuning into this station. So, you can also use the flash phone to call us. It won't cost you a dime. So, yeah. Now, here are some of the topics. I'm going to go through them briefly, right quick. I don't know if you have heard about this. I really was at odds with myself whether or not I wanted to even talk about this today, because I don't believe in gossiping. Not to say that I have never engaged in gossip, because I'm sure I have. I know I have engaged in gossip in the past. And I look at myself as a work in progress. I'm always trying to get better. I'm always trying to correct my incorrect behavior, but I recognize I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. And so this is why I have a hard time taking compliments from people, and I have to work because I don't want people putting me on a pedestal or thinking I'm more than what I am. I am nothing but a human being. Okay, I'm just a member of the masses who found something that interests him, that he thought would be a worthwhile project and that the black community could use. And since I had the technical background and then was able to teach myself based on my technical background on how to do online broadcasting and create internet radio stations, then I did that. Other than that, I am just an average human being with flaws, just like most of you. Probably all. I don't think there's any perfect human beings that exist. So with that said, I've been seeing some very troubling things being posted on social media about Dr. Umar Dullup Johnson, who has been a guest on this program. He hasn't been on here recently, but he's been a guest on in the past to talk about, you know, black boys and the school to prison pipeline and how they drug our black boys. And, you know, I've listened to some of his lectures and read some of, you know, the work that he has put out there. So as far as me to say that I know Dr. Abdullah Johnson, I don't know him, just like y'all don't know me, except for those who have actually met me in person and who have been knowing me for some years, and you know, we talk on a regular basis. You really don't know me. Okay, so how well do we know anyone? That's the point that I'm trying to make. But I'm seeing all of these rumors, and I call them rumors because I don't know them to be fact, and it's possible they could be based in some sort of fact. But what's being alleged doesn't really concern me. It doesn't really concern me. It takes a back seat to the work that he's doing. And I have not seen a pattern and practice of incorrect behavior coming from Dr. Umar. So I, you know, people were saying this and saying that. And at first I ain't know what they was talking about. And then I started seeing more stuff and I like, oh man, come on. Really? This is what we talking about. You know, is this why we are trying to, that we feel like he's not worthy to build a African-centered school for black boys? I mean, really, is this such a big qualifier, even disqualifier, even if it was true what's being alleged? So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the rumors. I want to talk about the what I believe is a ongoing plot to destroy the project, to keep this school from being opened up. That, because I, you know, looked at a video. I forget who made the video. This brother had made this video and it was concerning an attack on Dr. Johnson by a black feminist. And y'all know how what I've said about black feminism. I feel like it's a dividing topic in our community, or it's a tool of division. I don't have to be a feminist to believe in that women should be treated justly, that women should get equal pay for equal work. We don't need labels like that, you know, to care about what's happening to our mothers, sisters, and daughters, you know. And a lot of times we get into these labels and I'm this and I'm that. And it just really, you know, really just causes division. So yeah, I want to talk about that. And I also want to put out there what Malcolm X said: when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. Now we can adopt that and say when you attack one black person, you are attacking all black persons, especially if it's a unfounded or baseless claim. Or, you know, it's one thing to talk about, an elected official and someone who is harming black people and harm, you know, just acting in an unjust manner. That's entirely different than, you know, gossiping about somebody's personal life. All right. Also, an article came out that is causing people to rethink the use of the term implicit bias. I was actually, you know, thinking about an article, a sports article that I was going to write about implicit bias in sports, because, you know, I want to try to practice counter racism in the area of sports. And so, yeah, I thought about writing an article based about implicit bias, and I'm probably still going to write the article because I just think it needs to be done. But anyway, this article came out, rethinking the use of the term implicit bias to explain racist acts. This is talking about, you know, making excuses for white people, making excuses for white people and saying, oh, they don't know any better, or things of that nature. You know, it's not their fault. They've been brought up this way in a racist society. And look, people know right from wrong. So anyway, I think this article makes some very, very, good points about using the term implicit bias, and we should watch it and make sure that it actually applies to a case if we're going to, you know, use that term. So the other thing, speaking about sports, and this meme, it isn't new and it isn't the only one out there. If you've had a chance to check out today's program description, I included a picture from social media, from Facebook, that is comparing slavery to the NFL sports combine. And I just, you know, it just, every time I see these, I start getting agitated, because I am an abolitionist, all right? And I get agitated by people who want to make incorrect comparisons to slavery, because, you know, you can diminish the meaning of a term or a word, and you can water it down by using it incorrectly. And it just agitates me whenever. I'm not angry at these people, I'm not mad at them or anything like that, but it just agitates me. It agitates me that it just seems to me a lot of people are ignorant about slavery. You know, I think, because I've read comments and I listen to people, I make observations, and, you know, people seem to think in this country that slavery was abolished in 1865. And so, I mean, do you think that slavery was abolished and so you want to find something else to call slavery? I don't know. I don't know why these people believe this. Well, yes, I do. They've been taught that. They've been indoctrinated with false information through the so-called education system. Most people, in fact, do believe that slavery has been abolished because they've never read the 13th Amendment, and, you know, they just had no reason to, you know, question it. And so, I mean, it was only 3-4 years ago that I even started questioning it, that I even read the 13th Amendment. So I'm not criticizing these people. I'm just trying to do my part to fight against that incorrect information and put out correct information about slavery. So I'm agitated, but I'm not mad. I'm not angry with these people. All right. Now, also, this is a story that came out over the weekend, and there are just so many victims of police killings, shootings, beatings, all kind of crimes being committed by police against the people. And so the Miami Police Department is under investigation by a state agency after it justified the killing of a homeless man by the name of Fritz Sevier. I may be mispronouncing his last name, but that's how it's spelled. And he was killed in front of a whole lot of witnesses. And about 30 or so, maybe even over 40 of those witnesses were little children who were horrified at this sight of seeing this man who wasn't bothering anyone get gunned down by these cops. And so now, of course, you know, the police union, the Fraternal Order of Police, is of course doing what they do, justifying murder. The police department tried to sweep it under the rug, but they were unsuccessful in doing so because so many witnesses, and not that there were, you know, the fact that there were witnesses, but the witnesses came forward and said, wait a minute, the police are lying. They are lying about what this man was doing when they shot him down. Cause see, you're going to have 100 witnesses, but if they, you know, are the type of person that says, I see no evil, I don't hear no evil, and I'm not going to speak on it. I'm not going to, cause I don't want to get involved in that. I'm afraid. I just want to live my life. And, you know, yeah, that's just too bad, but it doesn't concern me. Well, fortunately, a lot of those witnesses said, yes, this does concern me. I was a witness to this. This was murder. This was incorrect on the police behalf. They are lying, and I'm not going to just allow them to tell these lies and not tell the truth. So that's very important that these people stand up and tell. That's not snitching. That is not snitching when you tell the truth about what you saw when a person has been seriously harmed, and it can't get any more serious than being murdered. So I want to talk about that. Also, the death of Khalif Browder. We was talking about this last week on New Abolitionist Radio that comes on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock PM. And this story is very upsetting to a lot of people. Khalif Browder was the young man who, as a teenager, was arrested for a crime he did not commit, and there was no evidence to suggest that he had committed a crime. But you know how the police roll. Any black man would do, just snatch somebody up. I ain't trying to spend hours investigating or days or however long it takes to arrive at the truth. Let's just snatch this nigga up off the street and call it a day. And so this young man, Khalif Browder, sat in prison for 3 years, not prison, in Rikers Island, which is a jail. And I think it's also a prison. I can't recall, but he sat in there for 3 years without even being, given a trial. So, you know, that old saying about a speedy trial, man, that's just something they like to say, cause they will drag stuff out as long as they want to. You know, the only time do you see a speedy trial is when it's in the interest of the prosecutor to make it a speedy trial. But there are other factors involved that we can get into as well about why people are spending years in jail waiting to get, you know, their day in court, so to speak. Well, Khalif killed himself, and that has led other people to examine this issue more closely. I mean, they were looking at it before he killed himself, but I think it gave people a sense of urgency to investigate this issue further in Riker Island. And lo and behold, they come up with another teenager who's now almost 25 years old. But he was arrested as a teenager, accused of participating in a robbery that led to somebody's death. He says that he's innocent. But the fact of guilt or innocence isn't the central question here. The question is why has he been sitting in Rikers Island for 7 years without being given a trial? Now, that's just outright ridiculous, man. That's almost a full decade. He's 3 years short of a decade of being in jail. And I mean, if you spend 7 years in jail, you might as well call it a prison. But this man, young man, he's 24 years old now. Carlos Montero has been sitting in Rikers for 7 years with no bail whatsoever, no bail. So he can't get bailed out and whatnot. So I want to share that story with you. I think that's very important. And lastly, but not least, I want to speak about an article I wrote over the weekend about this New York judge who recently ruled that medical examiners in New York do not have to return organs when they have done autopsies, you know, they remove the organs sometimes to determine a cause of death. But this judge said that they can take out a person's organs and then not put them back in the person's body or give them to the family or whatever. You know, you would think they put it in back in the person's body so they can be buried, you know, intact, because some religions believe that if you have any parts of your body missing, that, you know, you can't enter heaven. You know, I'm not trying to ridicule those people. That they believe what they believe, and it's, since they believe that, then, you know, I imagine that it causes them a great deal of pain and anguish if they find out that one of their family members' organs is missing, you know, and you know, they don't know what happened to them. Or they had to fight to get them back, like this one New York family did. This is the case that this was the issue that was being ruled on. These people's religion, the Catholic, they were Catholics. And, you know, with the organs missing, his brain was missing. Then, therefore, he couldn't be buried. He couldn't be buried. You know, he was buried, but the priest said he was illegally interred when they found out that his brain wasn't there. All right. So, but regardless of whether it's for religious reasons or other reasons, I think if a family wants the return of their deceased loved ones' organs, that they should be given them, and they should be informed if you kept them for testing or something like that. You know, I think you should tell them. You should be required to tell them. And I think that we should start asking, did you put all his organs back? You didn't sell none, did you? Because, you know, I feel like this recent ruling may help facilitate even further the practice of organ harvesting, to put them either on the black market, you know, the underground market for organs, where rich people, you know, pay lots of money so they can get a kidney or get a whatever organ they need, and they don't want to wait years on a waiting list and whatnot. And even the legal, quote unquote, organ donor program. And I had remembered that I had covered this in the past with Mr. T. West of Afrosynergy. And so this ruling troubles me. It troubles me greatly that this judge would say that a medical examiner does not have to return the organs, and they do not have to tell you that they kept the organs. So, I mean, there's a number of issues related to this, not just organ harvesting, but also the covering up of murders and whatnot. So those are some of the topics that I hope to be able to get through. We don't always get to cover everything, but I have linked to the relevant information. And so if I don't get to it, you can go ahead and, you know, go and read up on these things yourself. Last week, I did not forget the caller who called in last week. And we were about to transition to Tando Radio Show, so they said that they would, you know, hold off on their comments until today, Monday. If you're listening, if you would like to share your comments, I believe they may have been about Rachel Dolezal, however you pronounce her name. I read today that she stepped down from the NAACP. That may have been a way to avoid giving the press conference that she was scheduled to give to further explain her anomalous behavior, her very odd behavior. And so she was scheduled to give a press conference last night, and I noticed that they canceled the press conference. And then this morning I saw it was reported that she has resigned as the NAACP president. So I don't know if the NAACP behind the scenes, while in the public sphere they were supporting her and saying, you know, race has nothing to do with matters of justice, and, you know, that is not an incorrect assessment, and so they were saying that they were supporting her, but, you know, for a person to live a lie like that for as long as she did, then that does bring up legitimate questions about her ability to be credible on any issue, or her ability to be truthful about things. So, you know, that is a problem. Deception can always lead to problems. But, again, you know, that's pretty radical for someone to, basically live in blackface, you know, for several years, you know, so that is, you know, some very anomalous, behavior, very odd. And I also, you know, I still submit to you that because I don't see a lot of white people, and I lived around white people all my life, even when we lived in Detroit, at one time we lived in a mixed neighborhood. All right. And so, you know, I have always had interactions with white people, always observed white people. And, I have learned a lot from observing white people. Then when we came back to our ancestral, home here in North Carolina, you know, 80% or more of this county I live in is white people. I went to school with white people. I went to middle school and high school with white people. All right. So I've been around white people all my life, and I have never seen a white person engage in this sort of behavior. So that makes it an oddity. That makes it abnormal. That, you know, because the definition of normal kind of suggests that, you know, this is normal. A lot of people do engage in this. A lot of people play basketball. A lot of people, you know, go to the movies. A lot of people do this. A lot of people get married, you know. So this may be normal behavior as opposed to abnormal behavior. A lot of people don't have sex with dogs as far as I know. You know, I imagine we may not be able to get a full count of how many people out there is having sex with animals, because, you know, a lot of people try to hide that. So, but again, I just feel like it's very abnormal for someone to engage in that type of behavior. So that leads me to believe that this woman is a sociopath, which I believe most white people who practice racism, no, all white people who practice racism are sociopaths. All right. And that's a mental sickness. That is a mental illness. It is incorrect behavior. It is a pathology. And, you know, also, well, I would add that Rachel Dolezal is also a pathological liar, something I have accused other people of being that I know, you know, that have always lying. I'm like, man, why are you always, and it's a family member, you know, I'll be like, man, why are you always lying? You ain't got to lie. You just exaggerating. You know, that's not what happened. And this was a pattern of behavior with this person, to always exaggerate, to always even tell lies. And so that's like pathological behavior that they engaged in all the time. And I view that as a mental illness. I mean, because who tells lies all the time? You know, I don't think most people, except for those that want to pretend like racism and white supremacy isn't a real thing. You know, who does that? I think most right thinking normal people, would not make a statement like that. So there you go. All right. So yeah, if you want to comment on that, from, last week, you can do so, that caller. Otherwise, you know, I'm kind of like done with this story. I've hashed it out. I have satisfied my intellectual, curiosity, and I have come to my own conclusion based on the limited amount of information that we have, is that this is not normal. And that this woman should have a psych eval, like one of my friends said that works in the field of mental health. In that area of mental health. He's a mental health professional, is what I was trying to say. He was like, this woman needs to be psych. She needs to have a psychological evaluation, because this ain't normal behavior. And another thing, and I'll share this and I'll move on. He said that we should start using the terms out of the DSM, all right, that is the book of psychiatry that documents or lists all of the psychological disorders and stuff that people suffer from. And he said that whenever white people practice racism or do anything that violate us, we need to use those terms, their own terms, against them, to apply those terms, you know, in the same way that they gonna use it on us. They gonna use it on us. Okay, so yeah, I agree with him that we do need to describe these pathologies, these mental illnesses. And I'm not talking about viruses, as somebody suggested. No, we ain't talking about mad cow disease or Parkinson's disease or anything like that. That is, you know, where viruses or other organisms or proteins and things of that nature attack a person's brain. No, we ain't talking about that kind of mental illness, no. I don't even think that's called a mental illness. That's called a, you know, a disease, an infectious disease a lot of times. But anyway, now, getting to the first topic, let me go ahead and take a station identification break. We have going over the half hour mark, and so I try to take a station identification break to share more information with you. And I'll do that, and then I'll jump into this story on Dr. Umar. If you have some comments or observations or questions about it, please, you know, you're more than welcome to share them. Please don't wait till the last minute, though, to call in, because we do have another program that comes on after us, and I have to transition so that I don't have them coming on late or, you know, have them waiting on me. All right, so, yeah. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back on the other side of this break. Let's see.
I don't worry. I tell you, I'm a man who believed that I died 20 years ago. And I live like a man who is dead already. I have no fear whatsoever of anybody or anything.
This is Brother Elliot. First of time for an awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
The 4th Annual Liberated Minds Black Homeschool and Education Expo kicks off on July 17th through the 19th in Atlanta, Georgia. The Liberated Minds Black Homeschool and Education Expo was established in 2012 by Roots to Fruits and the Liberated Minds Black Homeschool and Education Association for the strong purpose of providing quality culturally based resources, educational training, and support to Black African homeschooling, non-homeschooling parents, and educators alike. This work is to assist in the cultivation of excellence and empowerment of our Black children. The Expo also provides a thriving outlet and platform for small Black independent businesses that specialize in retailing and or creating culturally conscious products and or services for the development of our youth. For more information on the Liberated Minds Black Homeschool and Education Expo that will be occurring during the weekend of July 17th through the 19th in Atlanta, go to LiberatedMindsExpo.com. And welcome back. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting from behind these enemy lines known as USA Inc. So I'm pretty sure most people listening now who have heard of Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson, who has followed his work for all these years, know about the rumor that's being circulated. All right. The rumor that's being circulated is that he engaged in sexual activity with a Black female who they say was a stripper. Okay. Now, I'm seeing people, I want to say this. I don't bash strippers. I don't bash drug dealers. I don't bash prostitutes. I don't bash people like that who do things that I would not do, that, you know, or at one time in my life, because of my mental condition, I might have engaged in too. And like Malcolm X said, you know, don't be in a hurry to condemn people because they don't believe what you believe or do what you do or think as you think or even think as fast as you think. Because there was a time when you didn't know what you know today. So you will not hear me bashing anyone because there's a strip, because they are working as a stripper. So, you know, people I think are saying something wrong with this woman or saying something wrong with her character or whatnot just because, you know, she works as a stripper. Well, do you know why she working as a stripper? You know, have you provided any alternatives or whatnot for her to make money for herself? And, you know, I don't know if she got children or anything like that. Again, I just don't bash people, you know, for simply, you know, doing things that I would not do. I try to understand where, why they may be doing those things, whether it's incorrect behavior or not. Why are they doing that? You know, why is this person interested in doing this particular, thing or engaging in this sort of activity? So, I'm not bashing him or her if this is in fact true, cause I haven't spent a whole lot of time looking into it, and I'm not gonna spend a whole lot of time looking into it, because you know what? Their personal sex life is their personal sex life. Now, it would be different if he was sleeping with men on the down low, given his work on homosexuality and its impact on the black community. You know, that would be totally, entirely different. It would be different if he was married and he was cheating on his wife. All right. That would be different. And so it's being that it's none of those things. His sex life ain't none of my business. It ain't none of your business. What two consenting adults do in their spare time, that's their business. You know, we like to put people up on a pedestal, and then as soon as they show that they are human beings, we want to tear them down. But again, you know, like I've said about other people, if you a perfect human being, you know, then throw all the stones you want to. But then while you throwing them stones, that tells me you not perfect. Cause a perfect person wouldn't be throwing stones, but seeking to help that person that they're throwing them stones at. They wouldn't be trying to harm them and whatnot. So come on, let's just come off of that. Ain't none of us perfect. We all have flaws. And hopefully we all should be working to correct our incorrect behavior. I got a lot of flaws that I need to work on, and all of the things that I may do that I feel like I shouldn't do, they ain't none of your business. It ain't none of your business. It doesn't involve harming other people, let me tell you that. But it's none of your business. What is your business is what I choose to make public. The work that I do through the platform Black Talk Media Project. And I'm not engaged in anything that is going to interfere with my work in media and assisting other people's work in media. That is none of your, you know, that, you know, come on, people. Come on. And I feel like that this is just a continuation of the attacks that I have seen levied against this man ever since he announced this project to build this school for black boys. I've seen black feminists go after him. I've seen white people go after him. And I just don't find any of their criticisms to be relevant to the building of this school. And that's what, I mean, I'm seeing some ridiculous stuff out there. Like, you know, well, if you Afrocentric, then you should be married and settled down. Now, I mean, come on. Does that make any logical sense right there? Single people can't be Afrocentric? Huh? So, you know, I choose not to get married. I choose. I've been married before. I've been down that road. I was married for 5 years. I got a divorce. I was going to get married again to my other daughter's mother, my youngest daughter's mother. But then I started observing behaviors that I couldn't live with. I couldn't live with those behaviors. And so I said, no, I'm not going to marry this person, cause it's just going to probably end up like my last marriage. So no, I'm not going to get married to this person, and I'm going to stop dating them. But I still carried on. Obviously I got a child with this woman. And we are good friends. We're good friends. Now I don't have any complaints in terms of her allowing me to be a father to my child. So I'm not, you will never hear me bad mouthing this woman. But I've had other opportunity. Women express, interest in me. I've had women that live in other cities try to get in contact with me, and suggest that I meet them here or meet them there and whatnot. And I'm not interested. I'm not sure. I will flirt. I will flirt with people, but just harmless flirting and whatnot. I mean, some of these people I have known since I was a teenager, that live in a different state than I live in, and they wanted to, perhaps start a relationship. And I'm like, no, I'm like, don't come down here, cause I'm not gonna meet you. I'm not interested in pursuing a relationship. We can have, chat with each other, talk about life matters and things of that nature, but I'm not interested in a relationship cause I am consumed by my work. As a single man right now, it is hard for me to keep up with a lot of the work that I am engaged in. It's a struggle. Sometimes I have to force myself to stop working and go eat. For real. And go eat. I will forget to eat sometimes. I have to force myself to get off of this computer or stop reading this book or stop, writing this or whatever and spend time with my grandsons or do other things outside of the work. Now, so could you imagine if I was married? See, if you're going to get married, then that right there, I feel like it's a big commitment and you owe a lot of your time to that person that you are in a relationship with. And I don't have that time to nurture a relationship with a woman. So I choose not to be in a relationship with a woman. So does that mean then that I can't be pro-black or, I never really claim to be Afrocentric. I'm not even sure I know what that means other than, people appreciating African culture, and people looking back at how our ancestors lived in Africa and, their traditions and they adopt that. I guess that's really what Afrocentric, means. If you are African-centered person, you try to live as your true African self. So does that mean then that you can't be your true African self unless you marry? That makes absolutely no sense. And a woman said this. A woman said this about him. And so I kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of thinking you probably one of those black feminists who don't want to see this school built. Like those other black feminists who are being used by white people to attack this brother and to attack his project. Cause let me tell you, racist suspects do not want to see black people building and doing for self, lest they become an example or a model for other black people to follow. And so, I feel like this is a continuation of the feminist assault on Dr. Umar Adulup Johnson. Now, do I agree with everything that Dr. Johnson has to say? No, I don't. It's hard pressed for me to find somebody I would agree with 100% on things. But just cause I don't agree with them 100% on something doesn't mean that I should take that what I disagree with them on and then dismiss their entire body of work. That makes absolutely no sense. That's not logical. Just cause I don't agree with how, this brother may eat, what type of foods he eat or whatnot. Maybe he like McDonald's. He going to McDonald's. And I told him, I said, McDonald's, it's not good food or whatnot. You shouldn't be eating there. Plus, they use prison slave labor. Stop giving your money to McDonald's. But he got an addiction to Big Macs or whatever it is. He got, should I stop working with that person? Cause they, don't eat healthy all the time. but they damn sure out there on the front lines out there, you know, in the face of these killer cops, or they are in the face of these proxy racist politicians and advocating for people, or they are out there educating, you know, our youth on, you know, whether or not it's academic or life education. So again, I just feel like that this is an attack, not so much as an attack on Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson, but an attack on his work. Now, if it did occur, and some people are saying that he said it did occur, then somebody else is saying it didn't occur. Then I saw a picture of the so-called woman with him and the woman. People were saying this is the woman and whatnot. Then I saw another one of a totally different woman. And they did not look the same. One was, you know, more melanated than the other one. I like, though, that's not even the same woman. So how can you trust anything on this? But again, you know, I ask myself, well, let's say it is true that, you know, Dr. Johnson had sex with this woman. Now, would that disqualify him from opening up a black school, you know, for black boys, to give them a Afrocentric education? No, that does not disqualify him in that area of his work. So, I'm just finding it hard to digest why, you know, people are circulating this and not seeing it for what it is. I could be totally wrong. I could be way off base. But again, I don't spend my days trying to dig up dirt on people that I see doing impactful work to help uplift our people. I'm not spending money to do a background check. I'm not playing a detective online and going through all his friend list to see who he friends with and, you know, trying to hack into his email to, no. I got better things to do with my time. We should be doing that to white supremacists and racist suspects and exposing them. Not somebody trying to dig up dirt or expose the personal flaws of a human being who otherwise is doing excellent work in the uplift of our people and trying to assist us. So I've said what I've had to say. I'm going to jump to the phone lines and take your calls. I see we got three callers that want to comment. Be patient. As we go, we got another caller. All right. So, y'all be patient. I'm going to go through, each one in the order that you called in. The first one, it's coming up as an anonymous caller.
I don't know why.
But you should have heard it say you're unmuted. So that's the cue for the rest of you. I think this is Sister Sarah's voice I'm hearing.
Yes, it is, Scotty. That's me. That's Sarah. Thank you for accepting my call. And once again, Scotty, let me apologize for over-talking you on Friday. That was very rude of me, and I didn't intend to do it.
But I know
you
did.
The headset that I wear, sometimes there's a delay, and mm-hmm. I don't get to hear when you might be trying to cut in. So I do apologize for that.
Understood. No apology needed, but it is accepted.
Thank you. I will start in the order that you started the program with the situation on Rikers Island and a young man who spent 3 years. And then you mentioned there was another person that came up with 7 years for some robbery or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is very unconscionable, because he ended up spending more time on a holding cell waiting to go to trial than probably what he would have gotten if he would have been adjudicated and, you know, did prison time.
In a plea, I could see, yeah, I have seen cases like that where people plea bargain and plead
exactly.
guilty and get 5 years.
Exactly. And he probably, and with good behavior or whatever, he could have been out in 2.5 years because of the overcrowding in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows you how they wasted all of these taxpayers' money. And the other thing with a guy, Mr. Browder, Khalif Browder, who ended up committing suicide after that traumatic experience that he spent there those 3 years, starting from when he was 16. What I find very troubling was that the family could not come up with the bail money to get him out for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking, what happened to these churches, these civic organizations?
Mm-hmm.
3 years and no one could come up with any bail money. I'm sure the man bail wasn't $1 million or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
They should have been able to get money together to get him out on bail.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have helped him. It would have been traumatic. But he would not have served, as he said, he spent so much time in solitary confinement and all of the time that he spent there with rats running over him and the beatings and the things that he went through. That would destroy anybody, because I know I would go crazy myself if I have to go spend time in a place with rats and roaches,
mm-hmm.
and things, sleep deprivation. It would drive you nuts.
We don't even know if he was raped in there, Sister Sarah.
Exactly. You know, because they show you a few clips where he was assaulted by the prison guards, as well as other inmates, because I believe they said he was gang affiliated and the rival gangs in there, where he got into beefs with some of them and he was beaten up. And I believe they put him on purpose like that, because you know how they do with black people.
Mm-hmm.
They like to see these Mandingo type fights where we tear each other apart for their entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been one of those things where they did it on purpose to throw him into a rival area. As we hear all the time with these cops, when they arrested these Bloods and Crips,
mm-hmm.
they'll deliberately go and drop them off in their enemy's territory just for them to get beat up.
Or killed.
I'm sure that they did that in the prison with this young man.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that I'm questioning is why 3 years that they could not have come up with a bail money between all of these black civic organizations as well as the churches. Why the family could not have gotten one of these groups, you know, the congressional persons, whatever, to get the lower bail or get him to come out on, you know, on his own recognizance or whatever, or the church leader, somebody put up and said, okay, I'm going to vouch for him, that if he goes bad or whatever, you know, that it's on me. Somebody in the community should have been able to do something for this young man, that he should not have spent such a long time waiting to get out. That's the only thing that I'm very, very disturbed about.
Yeah, I was disturbed about that as well, Sister Sarah, when I first heard about that. And from what I understand, I may be wrong and remember it incorrectly, but I don't even think this young man even had a criminal past. He didn't have a criminal record or anything. So why was his bail even so high for a nonviolent offense?
Exactly. And they kept trying to plead it out. And he says, no, he's not going to admit guilt for something he did not do. So it showed that the child was innocent, because anybody after spending a year on Rikers Island, they would have said, you know, oh man, I would plead to kill my mother just to get out of here. But he had integrity. He says, no, I'm not going to accept it because I did not do it. And I don't want that stigma to follow me.
Mm-hmm.
So he ended up, you know, look. On your second topic that you covered with the organs and people stealing body
mm-hmm.
parts,
mm-hmm.
and that is true. The Catholics, it's true for them as well as Jews, where
mm-hmm.
it's you have to bury the whole body intact. You cannot leave any part out, whether it be the brain or any of the other organs that you might want to take out to run toxicology reports on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, as a matter of fact, they do not condone you performing any kind of autopsy. I know for Muslims, it's specifically against their religious order that you cannot cut the body or do anything to take out anything from the body. They are strictly forbidden, because it's like the Jews and the Muslims, they're buried within 72 hours. They want their people to be in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they would not condone that. And it's just like with the Catholics. If you are buried and you are missing parts, you're considered to be not in hollow grounds. Because
mm-hmm.
normally if that happened, they don't want to bury you in the so-called sacred part of the cemetery,
mm-hmm.
as they put it, because you're considered to be somewhat defiled because you don't have all of your pieces with you that you came into this world with. So that's how they term it. That's why they consider that. And normally what they would probably try and do is to go back in and reconsecrate the burial of the person once they get the parts together, if they want to go through that and reinter the body and put the parts back together and try and do it all over again.
Yeah, that's what they're doing in the case that prompted this judge's ruling. They had to fight to get away. They found out the body wasn't intact. It was a 16 or 17 year old. I think he got killed in a car accident, and they performed the autopsy on him. They took his brain. They then found out because some of his classmates had a trip to the morgue and then saw this brain labeled with his name on it. And they told the family, and the family had to fight to get the brain back. And so anyway, this judge ruled that medical examiners do not have to return organs and do not even have to tell you that they withheld any organs. Now, you know, we just got through talking about the religious implications of that for people who practice certain religions. But I'm also looking at the fact that an employee of the New York Organ Donor Network accused them of putting pressure on hospitals to allow people to die, not try to save them, so that they can get their organs. And so then I start thinking, you know, well, this could, I mean, what's to stop a medical examiner from doing an autopsy and keeping a liver, keeping a kidney, keeping lungs, keeping, you know, things that you wouldn't notice is missing, and then put them up for sale on the black market or something?
Exactly, Scott, because I've mentioned this situation on previous shows before, because my husband, he has a great uncle of his that passed in right up here in Dallas. It happened about 5 years ago. And it so happened that when I was up here, we came up here, I grew up here visiting when he passed. So he was very young. He was in his, off of his back. Then they took, I kid you not, because they removed those here, and they took these parts from out of his body in order for them to ever just that they want to do. If I didn't ask, no, they wouldn't have known, and they were all in, could not believe that asking if he was fully intact. And that's what they did, and I know that if you are in that crime scene, your body becomes a crime scene and gets cops. They get to do whatever investigations, do whatever it is that they have to do, and in them doing that, I believe that they're in cahoots with these organs, because these people are being killed with headshots. Now, you want to tell me that you're in a gang rivalry where these people, they can't even shoot each other, they're stray bullets are killing people sitting on their porches, but yet still you have to come in a drive-by and do a clean headshot and kill somebody out here doing these killings, and they're saying that it's gang-related because these are young people, they're in their prime, and they want these bodies to get these parts out in order to do it, because most people in their grief, they're not even thinking of asking if all of the parts are there, because they're going to say they have to cut you open and take this out to do toxicology and whatever. And most people are not even going to think to ask if everything was put back in with the body. So, you know, this is something that we need to keep in mind, Scotty, because these people are running a game on us, and black people, once again, we are the ATM that everybody is using as their stimulus, because whether we are dead, whether we are alive for the prisons, whether our children in the foster care and adoption industry, now our body parts are needed for when you are dead in order for these people to live. So we are a cash crop. There's no other way to put it, but we are a cash crop, whether we're dead or alive, for these people.
Well, Sister Sarah, it is a very important issue, and I'm glad that you had the wherewithal to ask about his body parts, and I'm sure that you would recommend that everyone ask this, you know.
Sorry again for the trouble, because, you know, I knew it from being in the military. I work in mortuary affairs my last year before I got out. So I was well aware of what you do in a situation like that. So that's why it came to my mind to say, let me ask if everything was there. And then that's when we got the answer that no, it wasn't.
Okay. Well, let me move on, Sister Sarah. We got a whole lot of other callers, more than usual.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'll mute myself.
All right. Thank you. Let me see if I can unmute the next caller. My system is acting up again, and so I'm going to have to stop some things for now. Let me see if I can get this person unmuted. Area code 470. Your line should be unmuted if you would like to share.
Hey,
anything.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
How you doing, Scotty? This is Richard. Man, I'm first time caller, but man, I honestly just got put on your radio station probably like a week or two ago, just browsing the internet. And I was just listening to everything you had to say, and to go to Dr. Umar, like the situation, like all day today while I've been at work, I've been seeing you know, like everything that you've been talking about, pretty much talking about the woman that he supposedly had been with and everything else. And it was just crazy because I'm like, you know, everybody can try to bash this man, assassinate his character, but look at everything he's done. Look at, you know, like what he's trying to do. You know, he's trying to build the school. He's trying to empower black people to let us know what's going on. And I just find it real crazy that us as black people, like, instead of supporting him and just letting him know, hey, you know, everybody's human. Like you said, everybody's human. Everybody makes a mistake. You know, what he does outside of work, you know, that's his business. You know, like, we shouldn't try to tear him down for that. You know, I just don't understand that. And, you know, it's just crazy. And I just want to comment on it.
Well, I thank you for calling in and sharing that. And, you know, I would like to submit to people that, like Muhammad Ali, some people said that he was a womanizer. Look at how many times he got married. But regardless of that area of his personal life, look at all the great things that he did by using his platform as a recognized international celebrity, a professional boxer, and how he used that to impact social issues. And so even Dr. King was accused of cheating on his wife. Now, we're not going to sit up there and say that cheating is acceptable. No, it's not acceptable, but that does not diminish the impact in the areas of work that he was working in. And we have to stop looking at people as if they are some kind of deities, and then we're so crushed and get depressed when we find out they're human beings just like the rest of us.
You're exactly right, because honestly, like Dr. Umar, watching his videos on YouTube, that's honestly how I got into everything that I'm in right now. You know, trying to learn about my culture, trying to learn about my history, trying, you know, for my kids, like what they learning in school. Like, honestly, me watching his videos, I might not agree with everything he say, but a lot of his stuff was hitting on facts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, just me watching him and reading other books and other things and watching other videos, you know, it just empowered me to want to do better with my community, as, you know, just as being black and everything, and me expressing to my kids, hey, our history is what we need to learn, you know. Besides, because like everybody say, they close eyes to everything else. You know, I don't see anybody bashing the superstars, the actresses, or our rappers when they do stuff on, and then you find out about it. You don't see none of that. They still gonna go buy their CDs. They still gonna go watch them in the movies. They still gonna do all the take a man that's trying to do something for us and just try to tear them all the way down. That's just crazy to me. And I don't like it. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, everybody is human. Everybody makes mistakes. You know, you can't just be like, oh, well, he did this, I'm not going to support him no more. No, don't do that. You should support him, because what he's trying to do, he's trying to empower you and let you know what's actually going on, to wake up.
Right. And I would also submit that a lot of the people that, and I'm not going to say a lot, because I didn't spend all day, you know, researching this and looking at what everybody got to say, but some of the comments that I have come across, they are using this to say, well, maybe he shouldn't build that school, or maybe he's not the right person, or maybe, you know, and I'm like, there it is. That's what's really at the bottom of this, is to try to derail this project.
Right. And you're exactly right. And this ain't the first time this has happened. And he said it in his last video that this was going to probably happen. They try to discredit him or try to dig up some dirt on him or whatever. And, you know, like I said, I stand behind him 100% on what he's trying to do, and especially for our black boys and everything. And another topic that you were talking about was with the Oregon. He was the one that put me on about not putting on your ID card, I'm an Oregon donor, because he was pretty much explaining to how they do the Oregon trafficking, like the lady was just saying just a few minutes ago, how they be killing people. You know what I'm saying? Like, how we know that they not just out here targeting us and then they killing us and then coming getting our organs and just making it seem like, oh, well, it was justified, you know, they was gangbanging doing this. Like, if you think about it, it's, 2,500 black people come up missing every year and they unaccounted for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what can you say to that? And, you know, it's like crazy, because I sit here and I'm thinking, I'm only 27 years old, And I'm just like, wow, you know, this is crazy. This is my generation, and we got to do something. We have to stand up. We have to talk about it. We have to do more than just talk.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just crazy, and I just want to comment on it. And, you know, I'm glad I was able to get on your show this time, man. So, like I said, man, keep doing what you're doing, man, and I love the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you. And I hope you'll tell others about the station. We have other programming, not just mine. And we hope that, you know, that it's a help. It's an asset to you.
Yes, yes, yes. Most definitely.
Okay. I wanted to jump to Brother Sharif Hamid. Brother Sharif, one of my good friends I've known for quite some time, who does excellent work himself in helping our black boys. Sharif, my system is running kind of slow. If you hear it, we can hear you, Brother Sharif. Go ahead.
Okay,
wait a minute. Yeah, I'm having issues with my screen trying to lock up, so I'm trying to unmute the next person. Oh, wow. Let me see. It looks like it's starting to clear up a little bit. All right, Brother Sharif, you are unmuted.
How you doing, brother?
I'm not going through much because there's a lot of people doing a lot worse than me. So, all things considered, okay. Let me anything really and struggling here, but if you could try to speak up a little bit, but for those who wants to know what Brother Sharif is about to speak about. Brother Sharif works in a mental health as a mental health professional. He works with a lot of our black youth and whatnot, and so I knew this, and so again, I do not defend white people. White people don't need me to defend them. Okay. But this Rachel Dolezal story is just so unique. White people don't do this. I don't see a lot of white people out there doing that. And I'm looking at it as a mental illness, not to make an excuse for her. What she did was wrong. Deception is wrong. And the probably the most correct thing she did is to step down from the NAACP, you know, since this has come out. But I'm still looking at it as not being, I'm still looking at it as being abnormal behavior. And so I start looking up different mental illness that might apply to her behavior. And so I have reached out to you, and I think I asked you if you thought she was a sociopath, and you said that, you know, she's definitely is delusional. So I looked up delusional and whatnot. So just to give people a background, that's the conversation that Brother Sharif is talking about we had last night. So Brother Sharif, go ahead with your comments.
Right. Like you said earlier, I don't know much about her. Didn't hear much about her until, you know, this controversy popped up. But the little bit that I do know about and what's been in the media and after our conversation and just my experience of, counseling and working with, you know, different people with mental illnesses, it seemed like she's delusional. And anyone that experienced in the mental health field, whether you're a psychiatrist, a psychologist, or a counselor, knows that delusion is one of the most common and most overlooked mental illnesses in our society. And it's basically having a constant belief of one particular topic when all the evidence proves that it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you look up in their general psychiatry, is delusional, what they call delusional thinking. Like I said, I'm not scared to share it. I had an aunt that moved from up north all the way out to California, and she's still there because she believed that Tom Jones, the singer, wanted to marry her. And she moved there, and she constantly believed that. That's delusional thinking. Now, is she a danger to someone else? Is she going to get a knife and start swinging it around? Probably not, but that's delusional thinking.
But that's pretty, that was a drastic act for her to uproot herself and move all the way across the country because she believed very strongly, despite the evidence that this man wanted to marry her.
Right. And this seems to fit with, you know, without, you know, I'm not trying to give her no psychological assessment. I'm just looking from afar at some things. When, you know, it's enough facts there, you can look from afar and come to some kind of conclusion. Mm-hmm. She's for years now, you know, been living as if she is a black person when all the evidence points towards she's not. Her parents are white. Her parents said she's white. And I think they just had, when they were younger, they adopted some black children. Mm-hmm. And she's not white. So it seems like, you know, she is very delusional because it's very extreme. It's a lot of white people that act black, but they don't try to pass themselves as black going as far, you know, as she did.
They try to imitate the culture, but they don't create a fake persona and lie to people and say they something that they're not.
Right. And I don't know what the criteria is to get the position that she has, but any state worker or county worker in most states, like I used to be, work for the state of North Carolina. I was a counselor in a juvenile center. Most of them have to take psychological exams to even get those psychological assessments to get those jobs. I had to take at least 1,000 questions, psychological exam, and all they do is repackage the same questions. That's all they do. So I don't know what they have to do to get the position, you know, that she has.
That ombudsman's position, Brother Sharif, was voluntary. So I don't know, you know, if they would have spent that kind of money to have her do a psych eval. The university position, I don't know. You know, if they make professors and stuff go through psychological evals, you know, I don't know if it's a state university.
I'm pretty sure they do if it's run by the state.
Okay.
Any state worker most likely has to take at least here in North Carolina, but it's pretty much the same any state you go. The extent of it may be a little different, but most state and now even county workers, because they, you know, they're trying to avoid liability. Mm-hmm. And they make, you know, people take, you know, psychological, you know, evaluations, especially if you're working around children or adolescents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the angle I would take. When these people violate us or mistreat us, we should use their same tactics that they use against us with no merit. That they do it with no merit, you know, have labeled us with all kind of mental disorders, dreptomania and schizophrenia and all that. We should look at their psychological background. George Zimmerman is a sociopath. He stalked a child, but no one brought up his mental health.
Yeah,
that
we heard
Jordan Davis.
Zimmerman. Mm-hmm. He was taking medication. That much did come out that he must be treated for some kind of disorder because he's taking medication for it.
I didn't hear that. Did you hear that as much when the trial was going on? Because any skillful attorney would use that. Well, I think they were all in cahoots with each other.
Exactly.
A skillful attorney would use that and say this man isn't stable, you know. But it was kangarooed, you know, from the beginning. But mm-hmm. I'm just saying that to say that we should use their own tactics against them in their own terms, you know, when they violate us. They don't just got to be no murder in any way, because most of the time it's sociopathic and psychotic, you know, behavior.
You know,
I believe she's delusional.
Yeah, and I think she started constructing this delusion. And again, you know, you got more experience than me, but I'm just, you know, a layman and just reading and trying to apply it. I believe the delusion started when she was a young child. And I think maybe her parents even contributed to her delusions. I think possible.
They adopted black children, and like you said, most, you know, mental illnesses and, you know, a lot of trauma starts, you know, at home, because the people closest to you has the most access and can hurt you. That's just common sense. Mm-hmm. So when she start coming around these black children and probably just got, over asphyxiation with black
obsessed
culture, so she actually believed that she was black and said, I'm going to make myself, you know, a black person, not just imitate the culture. I I am black. But according to their own, you know, terminology, when it comes to psychiatry, that's delusional thinking. When you have a constant belief that all the facts point towards the opposite.
Right, right, right.
And real quick with Brother Umar, you know, me and Brother Umar are good friends. We're from the same area. Now, since he's been traveling all around the world, we haven't stayed in contact like we used to. But I could call him right now if I wanted to. Mostly text each other because he's so busy. But like the caller said before, it's a lot of people in the quote unquote conscious community who have been before this attacking the brother. That's what so what white media does. We can expect that from them. But these people who claim to be conscious, they don't have no institutions themselves. A lot of them are what you call Facebook revolutionaries. Something happened in Baltimore or Ferguson, they got all of this commentary. But if you were to go into their personal life, a lot of them ain't even out here doing the work like you're doing yourself and other people are doing. A lot of these people are Facebook revolutionaries, but they attacking, you know, this brother before this even came out. So it's people actually basking in the glory of something like this, just to show how sick a lot of us are. You can expect that from the white media, because any institution, they know institutions is what can really, you know, start changing the mindset and changing the whole dynamic with our people. So we expect that from them. But for our own people to participate in this mudslinging, you know, contest is really sick.
Yes, it is. And again, I think the primary goal is to prevent this school from being built, because then it'll become a model and an example for other people, you know, to pull themselves out of public, pull their kids out of public education, or coming together to create a black homeschooling network, or take over a empty building, like let's say in Chicago, one of those schools that they done shut down and closed down. Well, what if a bunch of conscious people was able to raise the funds to purchase that building and open the school right back up and make it an African-centered school? You see what I'm saying? And see, they don't want to see any successful models of that. And I think that's the underlying reason that he is being attacked, you know, is to prevent this school from happening.
Exactly. You know, education is the key. You don't necessarily got to have a degree or anything to be successful. But we're talking about our youth. You know, that's the work that I do, and that's the work that that he does. And the target, it's black boys. They have been attacking our boys for years now. With the brother's name, Kwanza Kanchupo, I mean, he talked about the same thing, and Brother Umar's been taking it, you know, to another level in this day and time. But this isn't nothing new. So we know what he's trying to do is needed. So for us to, for some of us to, you know, get behind and make this some, you know, some big issue. You know, only thing I would say, if I would talk to him, you know, we should try, we got to watch ourselves, and, you know, and just playing devil's advocate, people are pulling up clips where he said that he's celibate. So that's where the some of the conscience people are saying that they have such a problem with him, that I didn't see the clip of that saying that he is celibate and talking about, you know, uplifting black women, but yet, you know, he's running around with all these women. So that's their, you know, that's their knock on it. But like you said, and like your brother said before, even if that's true, it's awful funny how we'll find one thing that we disagree with someone, and all of a sudden that X's out, you know, their whole body of work. I even hear some conscious people labeling Malcolm X as a traitor because he went to Mecca and had some different views about Elijah Muhammad. I'm like, are you joking? What is wrong with you? All that Malcolm has done for us, and just because the man, that was his spiritual belief, but he never changed his views and his work towards black people. Just to give you an example how sick some of us are. I'm not even worried about what white people are saying about Brother Umar, anyone like him, because we expect that from them. I'm squarely looking at us on this, and this is very, very sick.
I agree, and I hope that this does not derail his project, and I hope the opposite happens, that more people will hear about this project because they hearing this gossip, and then they go look more information up on him and see his body of work and see the project and be inclined to make a donation. That's what I hope will happen. Okay.
You know how it is, Brother Scott. It's like it says in the scripture, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. Another 2 or 3 weeks, it is something else that happened, and they'll be on someone else's coattail, and mm-hmm. hopefully the brother can move on with his mission. You know, that's how the society is. No one's talking about Mike Brown no more. No one's talking about Freddie Scott in South Carolina shot that man in the back. No one's even talking about it no more. Just as quick with this woman we were just talking about. We were talking about the teens that were abused in Texas. Mm-hmm. Now that's kind of fizzling out just because of her. Mm-hmm. So this too shall pass.
All right, Brother Sharif. Thank you for calling in and sharing. And, you know, as far as you not being able to be a guest today, hey, we'll just schedule you for another time to talk about something else. Because I'm done talking about Ms. Dolezal after today. I think my intellectual curiosity has been satisfied. All right. Let me move to the next caller. I saw a caller 973 had their hand up, but I guess you took yourself out of queue. If you would like to add, please hit *6 and the number 1. I'll go to you first and then I'll come to 504. You should have heard your line unmuted, 973. Please go ahead with your question or comment or observation.
Sure. First of all, good afternoon, Mr. Reese. I just want to say this, just maybe 2 points. I had an interesting, and I agree with you, we should move on to the next subject. I think this is a big distraction, and we have much more priorities or things that are much more needed to discuss and to work on. I was having a conversation with my friend this morning. She called me, and she started, you know, huffing and puffing about this issue. And one thing she brought to light, she says, why is it when Bruce Jenner became a female, no one said that he was delusional or said anything about that? I mean, when gays become... I mean, you're a guy and you become a woman, and a woman becomes a guy. There's not too, you know, why is it this specific subject? You know what I mean? I mean, this. She said something about transracial. I said, what? So they have this, they done made a word right now, Mr. Reed. Now it's transracial. So I can be, you know, I can't ever be white because you can look at me and tell I'm black. I'm brown, okay? Mm-hmm. I can never be white, all right? So, you know, I would think that would be more for maybe them. There was a book back years ago called Black Like Me. Are you familiar with that, sir?
I've heard the title. I've never read it, though.
Well, this white man became black. I mean, if you saw the picture on a book, he really was a dark-skinned man, and he really wanted to see how it was to be black. He changed back to white. You know, he didn't say black because he didn't want to be black. Knowing what he went through. But it was a very interesting book. So I say to myself, we say delusional or whatever. Why couldn't she just wanted to be, I mean, black people wanted to be white because there were benefits. They were consider, especially those who could pass for white, there were benefits. Would we say they were delusional too by wanting the benefit of being white back in, I would say maybe, you know, times where white was always been accepted, but there were more opportunities. I mean, they, in terms of maybe during the 20s or 30s where, you know, it was much harder mm-hmm. or whatever. So when we talk about this, you know, her wanting to be black, as I said before, I mean, you were on the cows on Saturday, that I didn't see any benefit for her. I mean, she never, you know, this is what I want to tell you when I told you that I've yielded the balance of my time. I have had a friend, I called him my uncle, he's a white guy, and he went to our church. He's known me since I was 5 years old. He went to our church, we have an African-American pastor, he he came from Texas, actually, and his father was a pastor, and they did not like black people. His mother didn't like white black people. He didn't understand how his father could preach about love and whatever, and they did not like black people. So what he did is he moved to an area. It wasn't a black area, but he moved to an area. He met a woman in my church who asked him to come to the church, and he came to church. He loved it, and he stayed with the church until he passed away. Mm-hmm. So do I, you know, he never wanted to be black or anything like that. He just wanted to surround himself with black people because he felt that white people were just such, he would tell me he just could not take them. He felt they were just truly very evil, especially his father, extremely evil, and he just didn't want to be around that evil presence. But he never went and said he was black. Also, he never wanted interracial marriages. He didn't believe in that at all. He felt that anybody interracial had problems. He said he don't understand why black people would want to marry a white person. He said, I don't understand. He felt one should
Stockholm syndrome. Stockholm.
But in any case, moving right along, that's what I meant to tell you. That's why I said that he just had this love for black people. I also have another gentleman in my life who happens to be white. He's a longshoreman. He doesn't like to hang around white people. He tells me that black people are just, he just, every time you're around them, they're always talking about black people. So I do believe there's that, like they say, there's a 99% in that 1%, that might be, she may be that 1% who wanted to just be around black people after maybe whatever situation she has in the home, because sometimes, you know, we are who we are, a summation of all that's in and out of us, and sometimes we can reject that. So that's where I'm coming from, sir. I have nothing more to say, and I will move my lie, and I thank you for giving me time to speak on your show.
Oh, you're most welcome, most welcome. The thing going on, let me respond to the part about why does she have to be delusional? In terms of when you say they, I assume that you're talking like the mainstream media, why they didn't say this about, you know, Bruce Jenner, why they, you know, not saying he's delusional and transgender people are delusional and, you know, it might be a mental illness or whatnot. You know, mainstream media is like her, deceptive. They're going to be deceptive. So if they don't see a way that it could benefit them, they're going to spin it, you know, I think in a way that's going to support racism and white supremacy. So instead of saying that she might have a mental illness or delusion or whatnot, is that, you know, for whatever reasons, they want to keep people confused. Now, the reason that I use the term delusional, well, first, I didn't even think about the term delusional. I was looking at psychopath and sociopath. And then when I started talking to Brother Sharif, who I know, you know, works in the mental health profession, and he brought up delusional. And so then I looked up the definition of you know, that illness right there. And it's like he said, it's because of her behavior, because to be a delusional person means that you ignore all the evidence that says that what you believe is wrong. And you want, despite that evidence, you want to hang on to this fantasy. So I think it's more than her just wanting to be black, because she doesn't want to be white, because she, like those other white people say, white people is evil, or they always engaging in racism, and I don't want to be associated with that, and I don't want to be around them because they make me sick, you know. And so, but it's different with her because she is holding, she keeps saying that she is black. She is saying that she's biracial. She's not saying I'm a white person who hates white culture and what white people have done to black people and I don't want to be associated with them. She's still saying, despite the evidence, her parents knowing that these people gave birth to her and saying that I'm black. So that means that she is not acknowledging the reality of the situation, that even though all of this attention is being focused on her, I believe that she actually does believe she's black. I don't think that she's running a scam here. I think that this woman actually believes she is a black woman, or she's just a pathological liar. And the pathological, I mean, she has shown me evidence that, you know, she may be a pathological liar as well. So I think that's what I think, you know, I can only speak on where me and Sharif in our conversation about delusional, because it seems that despite all of this evidence and people confronting her with pictures of her when she was a child and pictures of her parents, she still doesn't seem to process it, that I'm not a black person. I'm really white. Or, you know, again, she might just be a sociopath and she wants to continue with this fraud and telling people that she's black for whatever benefit she thinks is going to give her. And she's not even considering, like a sociopath doesn't, from what I read, does not even consider the consequences of the incorrect behavior they engage in. They don't consider that if I lie on an application about my racial ethnicity and then it comes out and I can suffer, you know, legal ramifications for lying on an application. See, they don't even consider that. That's what I read about sociopaths. So, you know, if nothing else, this has been an interesting case study, like I said. White people, I live around white people, I'm surrounded by white people. 80% of this county is white, and I've never seen a white person live like this. Excuse me. Mm-mm. I haven't seen a white person engage in this type of behavior, so that's why I'm saying it's abnormal, therefore perhaps a mental illness. But again, I don't know, because I don't have all the evidence, and perhaps, you know, she does need to have a psychological evaluation if she wants to keep insisting that she's black. So that's my thoughts on it. Let me go to 504-504. Thank you for hanging on. Please go ahead with your question, comment, or share an observation.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Ken Osiris. I'm a friend on Facebook, Mr. Reed.
Greetings to you, Ken. Good to speak with you.
Yeah, this is my first time calling. The topics of brought up with the organ donor situation and the I think her name was Sister Sarah. I listened to her on the cows, and I don't remember her name on the cows, but she brought up the fact that, you know, you have so many of these people, black people being killed by other black people, and yet we are supposed to believe that every time these victims get shot at, they're supposed to die. And I think that was a very interesting fact that she brought up, because that was running through my mind, because it can't be that 100% of the people that get caught up in these conflicts end up being killed. So something else has to be going on. So, and also, with the white woman that's pretending to be black, I've seen a lot of confusion around that among black people. They don't seem to really understand the significance of a white person doing this, but yet they still want to excuse, you know, her for doing so, quote unquote, good work. And this is very confusing. With the Dr. Umar situation, all I can say is the problem is white people, and we instantly lose focus on that whenever a black person does something that we don't like. And a lot of times, because I've talked to a lot of people on Facebook about Dr. Umar, not just on this issue, but on previous issues, and it seems like these people claim to be aware of what's going on in terms of racism, white supremacy, but they would rather spend time focusing on Dr. Umar and whatever misbehaviors that he has, quote unquote, whether it's true or not, instead of actually putting time and effort into looking at white people from a critical lens. So I mentioned this on a Facebook post saying that you have black people that would rather do detective work on Dr. Umar instead of actually looking at what white people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, and it's very discouraging to see that. And also, black people who like to bring this up, who say that they are aware of what's going on, like to bring this up about, you know, how we shouldn't trust Dr. Umar because, you know, he doesn't do this or doesn't do that. Even though if you listen to his various speeches on YouTube, he clearly addresses that. He clearly addresses that it's not that he so focuses on black boys, it's that he recognizes that black boys are the ones that are being targeted the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as if, you know, some black people don't seem to understand that.
No, I had a question for you on that, Ken. You think that because he does focus a lot of his attention and work towards helping black boys, that perhaps that could be motivation for quote unquote black feminists taking issue with him?
Of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you listen to what Dr. Tom McCurry talks about and his struggles within the academic part of what he does, you see that whenever the topic of racism comes up, it immediately becomes, you know, this obscure discussion. But when he brings the focus onto black males, it's always, you know, it's black males that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, even though the common phrase is a curse word, and I won't repeat that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you always hear the negative side of what black males are doing. And, of course, you know, we're human. You know, we in general do things that aren't correct.
Mm-hmm.
We are victims of racism, so, you know, that is to be expected. But black people don't seem to understand that, you know, A, that we are victims, and therefore we do things that aren't correct, and we have been victimized, but we would rather tear each other down instead of actually, you know, focusing on the good things that people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, if this was a situation where he was beating on women or raping this woman or doing anything violent towards this woman, then, you know, that would be a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't. I don't think he has admitted that. I don't think the woman in question has alleged that. So I don't understand what's the problem. And of course, none of this is our business anyway.
Right, right.
And I've been repeating that as well. This is not our business. So, but you have many black people who are either aware or not aware of what's going on in terms of racism and white supremacy that say that, you know, we got to hold these black people accountable. And you know that no black person is in charge. There are no black leaders. But we seem to still think that we got to do something about these black people instead of thinking that we need to do something about these white people.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do, let me just add this point, and I want to, I'm going to have to wrap up the program soon because we got Tando Radio Show coming up. But I want to say something about that because, you know, I am working on a book called Proxy Racism, and I'm gathering examples. But I do recognize that white people are the problem, white supremacists are the problem, and that these black people are being used as tools, you know, by white supremacists to further, you know, white supremacy. And so when people say, you know, dealing with people like that, you know, which Dr. Umar is not a proxy racist tool. He is not doing anything on the behalf of white supremacy. But when we have, let's say, like a Clarence Thomas, or we have, let's say, I can't remember that man's name that was, that black man who was running, who was given the position by white people to run the prisons in Mississippi or Alabama, and where all of these people are being abused in these prisons. When I say something must be done about them, what I mean is that we have to get them out of these positions, whether that's by the vote, whether that's withdrawing our support, you know, in terms of the area of politics, whether it is shunning them and saying that, you know, as long as you are harming black people, I'm sorry, I just can't, you know, play tennis with you this weekend or something like that. You know, there has to be some kind of deterrent for them, or else then black people will see that as being correct behavior. They'll look at the material gain that these people are getting from helping racists, and then they'll engage in it too. So, you know, when I say hold people accountable, I don't mean like harming them, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Unless we're in an actual, let's say, shootout or something. Let's say that the police surrounded my house and they got black cops with them too, and I'm holed up in here. Well, I might have to take out a couple of black cops that's shooting at me. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't want people to think that I don't want people to think that we can ignore such a potent tool, and that we have to come up with ways to counteract this weapon that's being used against us. Again, I'm not saying anybody go out there and kill someone or do anything like that. If you're not willing to go out here, well, hell, if you're willing to kill that black person as a proxy racist, you should be finding out who he worked for and kill him first. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, kill the white supremacists and stuff. But again, I think we do have to, for our children's sake, for my grandson's sake, when I don't want them engaging or emulating behavior of a prominent black person, you know, well, I sit them down, I educate them and explain to them why their behavior is incorrect, and why, you know, we are not going to spend $30 to go see Ben Carson speak at the local convention center or whatnot, because I'm not going to give him our money so that he can promote stuff that's harmful to black people. So that's what I mean by holding people accountable and things of that nature.
Right, and I didn't mean to insinuate that you were doing anything incorrect, because I do agree that, you know, if we were to have some sort of contact with such black people, or they're doing some public event, you know, we can voice our disagreements and do it in a constructive manner.
Right, right.
Because, you know, because a lot of times when I see people talk about Dr. Umar, you know, you talk about, oh, he doesn't say how much money he's raised, or he doesn't have a plan for his school, or and so on and so forth. You know, I mean, he does give out his phone number. Mm-hmm. He's very accessible on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he does have a lot of people calling him. He does have a lot of people vying for his attention, because he is a psychologist, a child mm-hmm. psychologist, and, you know, he does a lot of work for children. So, you know, I don't see how these people are, they're not doing anything constructive. They're not saying anything that actually helps, you know, black people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you don't want to participate with Dr. Umar, there are plenty of black people that have black schools, African Center schools.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's one in New Orleans with Dr. Samari Kamara,
mm-hmm.
the Kamali Academy. And, you know, there's plenty of black people that are doing the work to build schools. So Dr. Umar isn't the only one.
Right.
You know.
Right.
If you don't want to help him, there's somebody else to help.
Well,
you know, you could build your own school.
Exactly. Exactly. Instead of saying he's not the one that you think should lead it, well, you know, don't send your children there then. But you ain't got to tear it down. You ain't got to try to prevent it from happening. Find somewhere else, you know, to send your children or send your financial support. But I have linked to his GoFundMe page, his GoFundMe page, it says that they have raised $116,091 in 3 months. Okay, and the goal is $4 million. So, you know, it's far short of that $4 million. And it gives, updates on there as well. So I have linked to that. There's also a video, that is, posted in the GoFundMe page that is in an hour, that is 1 hour long. So, again, you know, people that say that he doesn't have a plan or this and that, they, you have to ask them, well, you know, have you actually done some research into this, or are you just, you know, just saying something without any proof, just to be saying something? Because I've heard him talk about it, his plan and things of that nature. So yeah, all right, thank you for sharing with us, Ken.
Thank you for letting me speak. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'm just briefly touch upon some of these other news stories that I have linked up for you. In terms of the sports thing, comparing, professional sports to slavery, I'm not one of those. I'm not one of those. And I know a lot of people, and they have every right to feel however they want to feel. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to try to say that, you know, they shouldn't feel that way. If they don't want to spend their money in sports, which I don't spend my money on sports, if they don't want to, you know, watch sports or talk about sports or anything like that, that's their prerogative. Ain't nothing incorrect about that. But I do think it's incorrect to compare sports to slavery. Okay. As one who has studied slavery because of my interest in abolitionism, and one who says, who knows that slavery has not been abolished, and know that the horrors that our brothers and sisters are facing on these modern day prison plantations, being raped, being beaten to death, being murdered, being just all kind of being forced to work for slave wages. And then, like, you know, when I got into it with a staff member of the congressional, the congressperson over this district, I got in an argument with this white person who said, well, that's not slavery because they're getting paid. I was like, okay, sir, how much research have you done into slavery? You would know that some people who were enslaved were able to purchase their freedom. Where did they get that money from, sir? If, you know, non-payment is, you know, a condition for being enslaved, because certainly they got, many of them got paid, but they got paid slave wages. They got paid slave wages, and they would save their money up for years, decades even. And then once they saved up enough, they were able to purchase their own freedom. And then they went into business and whatnot, and tried to purchase some of their family members out of slavery. So being, just cause a prisoner is being paid 25 cents on the hour to do call center work for Unicor, that does not mean they're not a slave. That just means they're being paid slave wages. So again, a person in prison can't say, I quit, I'm walking out the prison door. But a person who's playing professional sports can say, you know what, I'm retiring. I'm no longer going to play football because I'm concerned for my health. Like a couple of players for San Francisco just did that. Said, I'm concerned about my long-term health, I quit. See, a slave can't quit. A slave doesn't have any control over his life. And so just to take a picture of black men being given physicals to determine if their body is okay enough to engage in that type of activity, so they don't die on the basketball court like Hank Gathers did, cause undetected large heart and whatnot, and other, you know, problems that may be detected during this physical. Cause these people about to invest millions of dollars into these people. So they want to know that, you know, if I pay you, if I sign you to this big contract and give you $1 million signing bonus, that you're not going to drop dead the next day. And then I'm just out of that $1 million. You know what I'm saying? I'm out of my investment. You know what I'm saying? That's not the same thing as slavery. I took a physical every time I played little league baseball. I never played football. And when I played basketball, I had to take a physical to make sure I was physically fit enough to engage in this sport and not go out there and be, you know, exerting myself and then causing damage and then, you know, something that might lead to me dying. That, you know, now, so taking pictures of black people going, undergoing physicals and then throwing it up next to a evil white person inspecting the teeth and feeling the muscles and stuff like that of people that they're about to enslave if they buy them. That's not the same thing, people. Let's not water it down. I mean, I'm not angry at you. I'm not mad at you. But whenever I see those comparisons, I get agitated because I feel like you're misinforming people about what slavery actually is. Cause see, in slavery, you know, you can just, they can just, your body don't belong to you. Somebody else owns your body and they can do to your body what they choose. That's not happening to professional sports players. Okay. They may be pressured to still get on the field, even though they may not be feeling well that day. They may be hurt. But they still have a choice. They still have a choice. Okay? People who are enslaved do not have a choice. I mean, they have a choice, but they might get beaten to death or, you know, for a saying, I'm not going to work today. You know? Because we're just, you know, last night we was doing political prisoner radio and Sister Amijo told me that there was a detention facility for immigrants full of non-white people who were saying, who were going on strike, having a prison-wide strike and refusing to work. Okay. And they probably getting beat up and tear gassed and all kind of stuff. I mean, they're having these little mini rebellions all over the country in different prisons for the past several years. But it's hidden from you. It's largely hidden from you. It might get mentioned in the local media and those people know about it. But you wouldn't know about it unless you have like, say, a Google alert for certain words and certain phrases that would get sent to your email box. But I mean, I can't remember the last time I looked at national media and they was talking about one of these uprisings on these prison plantations. You know, cause they don't want you to know. They don't want most people to know that you got people rebelling on these prisons, refusing to work. Because then some people might say, wait a minute. You mean they're working? That they're, you know, striking because they're not being paid enough to work or they're striking cause of this and that. Wait a damn minute. I can't even find a job out here on the streets. I've been going, filling out all these applications and stuff like that. How is it y'all can find work for these people behind bars doing call center work, processing fish, meat, and poultry, you know, making bombs for the U.S. military, putting together, sewing together U.S. military uniforms and all of that kind of stuff. But I would not like a job like that, you know. Then I'm out here struggling and whatnot, but yeah. So again, you know, I'm not angry. I'm just agitated when people compare slavery to something that isn't slavery or call something slavery that isn't slavery, because we got men, women, and children who are actually enslaved on these plantations. They're being raped. They're being killed. They're being everything that you can imagine happened in the 1800s to somebody on a plantation. That's happening in these prisons. So if you want to compare slavery pre-1865 to something that's, you know, slavery today, you don't have to look hard. You don't have to look far and wide, and you don't have to make up things and try to make a square peg fit into a round hole. Cause slavery was never abolished, people. It was just transformed. All right. It was transformed and it still exists. And the 13th Amendment says that it exists by saying we can put you in slavery if we can convict you of a crime. So that's my only issue, with that comparison, is because, you know, I don't think, you know, being paid millions of dollars to play a game that I can quit anytime I get ready to is comparable to slavery. It's not. Hell, you should be having physicals. You know, you should have, don't you have to go through physicals because you want to get life insurance? And so you had to go to a doctor and you had to get a physical. So because that doctor giving you a physical to, you know, so you can, you know, meet the criteria to get this life insurance, does that make you a slave? No, it doesn't. Let's do some critical thinking here. All right. So, the other story, please check this story out. Fritz Severe, I think that's how you pronounce his name, gunned down in Miami by the police department in front of about 30 plus children in a public park. They tried to say he had a metal object in his hand. It was just a stick that he had in his hand that people who knew him, he was well known in that area as a homeless person. They knew him by name. They said he always had that stick. And so, you know, somebody using a stick or raising a stick above their head, that means you're going to take them out, right? You got to shoot them. You got to shoot them dead, right? Because you really could lose your life because they got a stick. Come on now. And they said that the man obviously, you know, suffers from mental illness and whatnot. Well, I shouldn't say obviously, but they said he suffers from mental illness, right? And they did something to agitate him and he got agitated. And so they said like he was waving a stick in the air, like, you know, shaking it at people, like, you know, like just imagine a teacher with a ruler or a parent with a switch. If you don't stop, I'm gonna whoop you. You know what I'm saying? He was not threatening those officers' lives. And what did the Miami Police Department say? They didn't even say that the shooting was justified. They said that the shooting was within the legal parameters of the law. Something, I'm paraphrasing, but something to that extent. I know their wording kind of stood out to me, is that these our officers acted within the law. They didn't say that, you know, they were justified or anything like that, but they acted within the law. So, I mean, I think that says something. And I'll try to talk about this more and get some more information. And we'll talk about it tomorrow on tomorrow's broadcast. We're going to get ready to transition to Tando Radio Show's Sister Zakiya will be on with Brother talking about health and wellness issues. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't heard anything back, but Sister Zakiya may actually get her own program on the Black Talk Radio Network, because I've been trying to recruit black females and I've been in talks with two black females, but I haven't heard back from them yet to work out the details. One of them said, you know, she hasn't said whether she accepted or not, unless her email is just buried in this email that I'm trying to work my way through. And but yeah, I am trying to get more black female voices on this network, and so I'm hoping that we will be able to do that, all right, to bring the perspective from a black female perspective and some of the things that they have to bring to the table and offer us from a different perspective. So with that said, peace and blessings to everyone. Recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines. Stay tuned for Tando Radio Show coming up here in just a bit.